Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show, wherever you get it, iPhone, Android, Stitcher, excuse me, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. And thanks for subscribing on iTunes and giving us that five-star rating, commenting on the iTunes page. Takes 2 seconds. Do it right now before you get into the episode. Happy Thursday, by the way. Happy TGIF, almost, tomorrow. I just drove back from San Diego, where Brad and I interviewed Kevin Eastman, the co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We did a live podcast in San Diego at the San Diego Comic Art Gallery. It was unbelievable. If you love the Ninja Turtles, or even just saw one of the movies or the cartoon, or you know about them, you got to listen to this episode. It was fucking fantastic. It exceeded all my expectations. Fanned out. Kevin was the man. Talked about where Shredder came from. Jim Henson stories of meeting him and getting that creature shop to help him make the first movie so realistic. It was just unbelievable from top to bottom. That episode, be on the lookout for that episode next week, as well as Paul Feig from Ghostbusters, as well as Jake Zemanski, the director of Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, which comes out July 8th, as well as Zac Efron and Adam Devine. We're taping that episode on Friday, and I could not be more, tomorrow I guess, could not be more fired up for that. So many great eps on the way, so many great eps happening in just a few minutes. Today's episode is one of those episodes that happened because I did Ghostbusters, right? And I play the lead singer of a death metal band, as well as voicing Slimer, but in the band, I got to be great friends with everybody in the band. The drummer, the bassist, the keyboardist, the lead guitarist. The drummer is a guy by the name of Davy Jones, right? The nephew of Allison Jones, world-famous top comedy casting director. She cast Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Office, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, Superbad. You name it, she's done it. She cast me in The Heat, put me in Spy, Ghostbusters. She's directly responsible for me having the career I'm having. On top of being just one of the sweetest people on planet Earth, she knows comedy as good as anybody. And it's why she's given so many breaks to so many people and is directly responsible for giving us so many of your favorite comedies. So if you ever see her at a Starbucks or a Quiznos, say, "Hey, Allison, thanks for all the funny stuff you gave us." Because she did, because she's the shit. Her nephew, Davy Jones, was the drummer in my band in Ghostbusters. And we all went out one night drinking after shooting. And Davy told us quite possibly the craziest story I've heard to date in my life. I'm 34 years old. A story that you hear, it doesn't sound real. He was, he's an amazing storyteller. On top of being a great dude and an incredible musician, he told this story to a group of people that never heard it before, and, you know, we started asking him, like, how many times, who else knows about this? He's like, not many people. It was the most compelling story I've ever heard. Yeah, I had a couple tequilas in me, but I was so just enthralled and captivated and choked up. It's a movie waiting to happen, and hopefully we can, you know, myself and some of the other bandmates talked about trying to, you know, facilitate that. Davey is an inspiring dude, got a great heart. Like I said, incredible musician, DJed a strip club for quite some time, and we open with some solid strip club stories, and then he gets into the story, which I heard but got to relive it again, and Brad got to hear it for the first time, as well as you're about to as well, is what I meant to say. Jesus Christ, it's late. Anyway, Davey's the man. Enjoy this episode. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Tour dates. Holy shit, we've got some coming up. Me, like I said, I'm in town all summer. AdamRayTV.com for all my tour dates. I will be at the Laugh Factory tonight at 8 p.m. We'll be at the Laugh Factory tomorrow. At 8 p.m., I will be Comedy Store or Laugh Factory. All my dates, AdamRayTV.com. But I'm in L.A. all summer because I'm shooting Mad TV, baby. That's right. July 26th. Have you set that DVR yet? 9 p.m. on the CW. We premiere. I couldn't be more excited. Got my official parking spot. We had another read-through today. God, these sketches are funny, man. This cast is so talented. I'm just so pumped. I just can't wait to start shooting shit, having it air, and have you guys enjoy it. You know, everything I've done has prepped me for this experience, and I'm ready to rock it. So July 26th, 9 p.m., CW, Mad TV. Of course, Ghostbusters coming out in 2 weeks, July 15th. Go see that. And then, again, AdamRayTV.com for all my tour dates. Brad Williams. Well, let's see. Where's Brad going to be? I'll tell you. He's going to be in Montreal at the Comedy Festival. So, you know, check out Brad in Montreal. He has his own show. He's doing the Nasty Show. He's doing the goddamn Comedy Jam. Brad's going to be all over the place. He just got back. He did like 32 interviews in 2 days because they're featuring Brad as a part of the festival. So that's a big deal. I'm proud of that guy. BradWilliamsComedy.com for all his tour dates. He'll be at the Columbus Funny Bone July 14th through the 17th in Columbus, Ohio. So get your tickets. Go see Brad July 14th through the 17th, Columbus, Ohio, Funny Bone. And of course, when you come to these shows, bring your ALN merch at StoryMerchandise.com for all your ALN merch. And bring your stuff. We'll sign them. We'll take pictures. That'll be great. And I think that's about it. So many great episodes, as I mentioned, on the way. Zac Efron, Adam Devine, Paul Feig, Wayne Brady. The hits are keeping on coming. So make sure you're subscribed on iTunes. Tell your friends and family. Tell one person a week about the ALN podcast. And you know what? That's how you can do your part. We're bringing you all this fun content. So help spread the word. We appreciate it. We love you guys so much. Your tweets and emails have been incredible. Some really amazing personal stories of how the podcast helps you guys get through the week or the day or the year. And, man, it's just awesome. This podcast we did tonight with Kevin Eastman was just another reminder of how lucky we are to get to do what we do. And, you know, Brad and I were driving back just being like, we love this shit. You know, it's great that we're building a fan base and you guys are loving the pod, but we love doing it. So, you know. Thank you, I guess what I'm trying to say. Now we got the tour dates out of the way. Those are the Twitter handles. That's all the merch info. And now sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only, our buddy, Davy Jones.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast.
This is Davy Jones, his first podcast.
First podcast ever.
By the way, yeah, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, Davy Jones is just such a great name.
Well, it was like, it was a monkey.
Davy Jones was the pirate reference.
Yeah,
Davy Jones was a monkey.
He was the monkey.
We're the monkeys.
Yeah,
Davy Jones said that.
Yes, he did.
Somebody said, "Hey, that's like the guy from the Beatles," and I was like, "Not the same." Not the same guy.
Wait,
somebody thought Davy Jones was in the Beatles.
I mean, Jesus don't get me wrong. I like Davy Jones, but come on,
no
guy.
John Lennon.
There was a podcast. Charlotte McKinney, the Carl's Jr. lady, mm-hmm. With the huge ass tits. Mm-hmm. She went on. I just throw that out there. Google her. She's gorgeous. She went on the Adam Carolla podcast, and okay. he asked her to name the Beatles. She couldn't.
What?
And for me, deal breaker. Like, with a woman. Deal breaker.
The tits.
Oh, I mean, fuck her once. I mean, keep her on, you know.
Not to mention.
Yeah, keep her for the booty call.
You can use it as an opportunity to teach somebody something.
Yeah, I mean, and then don't fuck to Hey Jude, because he's going to be like, oh my God, is this like Vertical Horizon? You know, and that
Vertical Horizon.
and that would just be insane.
Who were, Davey and I met on Ghostbusters.
Yes.
He was the drummer.
Coming out this summer.
Yeah. Your aunt is very famous casting director.
Allison Jones.
Allison Jones. Mm-hmm. Responsible for casting Some of the greatest comedies.
It's incredible.
Of all time.
It's incredible.
I don't even know when did you figure out. I mean, Superbad, 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Like,
Golden Girls, right? Didn't she?
Yeah. I mean,
Curb Your Enthusiasm. The
yeah.
Office, by the way. She discovered Krasinski and who played Pam.
I mean, and then just brought Steve Carell to the next level.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. With her work with Judd Apatow, it was...
Yeah, and now with Paul Feig.
That was when I first... Because the first movie that she did, when I started realizing that my aunt was in Hollywood, because I was probably like 10 or 11 at the time, was Deep Impact.
What?
And
wow.
That was one of the
Deep
first
Impact
big
was where
movies.
Morgan Freeman played the president and told us all that we were all going to die.
Very calming when Freeman does it.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? If that's the voice I go out on, I'm all right with it.
If it's Harrison Ford, he's like, we're all going to die. You're like, fuck, we are.
Where's my family?
My family's going to bunker.
I hate snakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she did Deep Impact with Elijah Wood and Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
And all. So I was kind of like, whoa, that's really cool. But she wasn't doing all these comedies. You know, she did Boy Meets World and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, but, like, I didn't even know that. And then one
because
day,
what,
my
she wanted to
like,
keep it from you, or?
I never heard about it.
Yeah.
Like, she's so modest that, you know, and I hadn't seen her, like, I'd seen her, like, once or twice my whole life.
Right.
You know, because she lives in L.A., and unless we had a family reunion, I wouldn't see her.
And she wouldn't bring up stories to you as a kid, being like, you know, Betty White said this on the set of Golden Girls.
No, it was funny because I first was like, wait a second, because she did the 40-Year-Old Virgin. I saw it and I kept bragging about her, like, my aunt is so cool. Oh my God. So I got her to autograph. She got Steve Carell to autograph a poster that
Whoa.
I gave to my high school girlfriend.
Whoa. You know, somebody got a hand job. Like,
she had to. Every girl knows. Even
it was like, "Hey, Cindy," from Steve Carell.
Oh my
God! You know, I love Lamp on the poster because she loved Anchorman.
Oh my God!
And I was like, "Allison,
I would have jerked you off for that poster."
Yeah. Even like the most protective father would be like, "Well, you gotta fuck him now."
Yeah. It is your duty.
Yeah. I mean, do I have to? Yeah.
Exactly. I did lose my virginity to her. Yeah.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah, Allison is has the sharpest eye for comedy in the business.
She really does.
Is the sweetest person on planet Earth, and to be that cool and that dope at your job is rare. For those of you who aren't in the business, don't like for somebody of that.
Oh my
magnitude
God.
Of power and
she controls careers. She's someone who can literally say, you know what, Adam Ray, you are now going to have a career.
It's amazing.
Oh, she has that power.
She is the reason I don't have to work at a theme park anymore.
Yeah, I mean, even as an aunt, she is like one of the most loving, caring family members, and I have such a close relationship with her. Even though I interact with her on such a small, like through email, text once in a while.
Yeah,
but I just feel like that's my aunt. Like she really has always been there for our family. We talk to her all the time, and even though we rarely ever see her, she's just everyone thinks the world of her.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she's amazing at family, amazing at her career.
Doesn't surprise
me. She creates amazing careers for people who deserve to have amazing careers.
Yeah,
and. You know, I was barking up that tree for a long time. Alice, you got to put me in a movie. I want to be in a movie.
Was there a specific movie that came along where you were like,
I'm not just going to put you in a movie just because you're my nephew.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, but then when she saw a video of me playing drums and the Ghostbusters thing came up, she was like, I think we need a drummer.
You know?
And
that's so great that she didn't, like, because people think that, like, you if you know Allison Jones,
it's about who you know. Yeah,
and then she can just put you in a movie. But then that if she puts you in a part that's not good for you, and you fuck up, that affects her career.
Yeah.
So, she's got her ass on the line, so she found
it's
a role that was good for you, that you're actually good at, and you play drums, so...
I was very happy with it. It was probably one of the coolest weeks of my entire life.
Yeah, what was that call like? Hey, do you want to be in Ghostbusters?
Yeah, it was, hey, are you going to be available next week? I might need you for something. And it's her emailing me that.
You were like, Deep Impact 2?
I am clearing my schedule, you know, completely.
Now, is that something where you get your hopes up and then she's like, I need you to clean my gutters? And she's like, damn it. I thought this was the call.
I thought this was a Morgan Freeman.
I thought the bat phone was ringing.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That was such a cool call. And, you know.
Stay on that mic if you can. Yeah. Hug that mic.
I'm sorry.
Hug that mic.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Hug
go.
The mic.
There
Is that
go.
Better? Is
yeah,
that better?
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. We will teach you the ways.
I gotta talk into the green penis.
Yeah.
Into the green penis
sounds like a Morgan Freeman movie.
We will go into the green penis. It was a dark Tuesday, 7 p.m., 42 degrees Celsius. We will fight the jolly green giant by entering through the green penis. Then we will explode the green penis, and then vegetables will rain on the earth forever.
Wow. Oh, that might be the only way to have a filthy, like, vegetable commercial. Yeah.
And don't you think that I haven't thought about killing the jolly green giant? All giants. Fuck them. Don't like them.
Giants.
That's Brad's nemesis.
Yeah, natural enemy of little people. Giants. Gotta go the opposite.
Has there been an actual movie, though, where giants have, like, killed dwarves?
Giants versus dwarves, like the movie, like a Sharknado type thing.
Troll Hunters. You know what? Get your aunt on this. This movie needs
Allison,
to be made.
Allison, if you're listening, yes. Giants versus Dwarves, starring Brad Williams
and
Manute Bol.
Manute Bol's dead. But
rest in peace. Yeah. Brad Williams and Tony Robbins. Oh, Shaq.
I'll go Shaq.
I feel like Tony Robbins.
All these dead giants.
Yeah. Tony Robbins is dead?
No, he's not dead. Oh. The genuine concern on Adam Ray's face was like, Tony Robbins?
Allison told me to tell you, by the way, no Tony Danza.
In the podcast, she said
just
that.
She's like, do not let him do Tony Danza.
So funny. Yeah, there's certain auditions I go in for, she goes, she'll say, like, no Danza or no Travolta, because, like, my natural essence can sometimes go that way.
Hey, come on. It's so weird. It's so weird. Like, you mean don't do this in the audition?
And are you allowed to say what part you have?
Yeah, I mean, Adam? I'm in the band, too. I'm the lead singer of the band.
Yeah, so did you, like, go in, like, all right, you're lead singer of the band. Okay, so I'm the lead singer of the band. Like, you go in, like,
so look, I know the episode of who's
in the band.
The biggest douche. I was, like, nice. Like total douche, cocksucker of a lead singer. And then that's why when I get attacked by a ghost, you get to see a genuine flip of, like, now this guy's a huge pussy.
Oh, my God. No, the vest in that.
Well, I had a sleeveless leather vest.
It's still weird seeing you not looking like that.
Yeah, that was insane.
Every day it was like, hey, good morning, bro. Like, nice eyeliner.
Oh, yeah, because we would sit in the makeup chairs and get these fake tattoos. Davey, you got real tattoos.
I do have real tattoos. So, I mean, I didn't have to get any makeup tattoos.
They had to put fake skulls and claws on me.
Yeah, it's got to be the same spot every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day that you shoot.
So you've been playing drums for how long?
I started playing drums when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
In a punk band, because I was like, I can't play sports, so this is the only way chicks are going to talk to me.
Oh, really?
In high school.
Not athletic?
No. I played hockey, but I had a brain aneurysm when I was 9 years old.
That's right.
Whoa. So I could not play sports. So I went the music route, and that was something like, okay, I tried guitar, didn't like it. Tried bass guitar, didn't like it. Started playing drums, kind of clicked with me. So I wanted to go to, my parents wanted me to go to college. I really wasn't sure whether I wanted to or not, but I was like, all right, you let me go to Berklee College of Music, I'll go to college. So I ended up going to Berklee College of Music.
One of the best schools for music,
oh,
right?
Yeah. I did a bunch of drum classes. It was like, the major was called Professional Music, and it was like entrepreneurship and all
like
this
it.
Stuff.
Professional music.
Professional music,
I majored in professional music. Not like those amateur music degrees down at DeVry.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Professional music.
Oh, God. Yeah, so immediately after getting out of college, I was like, I seriously just went to college for 4 years for drums. This is not going to work out well for me.
or it could work out really well.
It could.
Now,
but,
did you immediately jump into a band, or like, I need to use the skill?
I was in pretty much taking anything I could get, playing in wedding bands. I still played in a punk band. I moved down to Austin immediately after graduating, and that's when I started DJing. And I would do this thing where I was playing drums and I was DJing because I was such a shit DJ. And I was like, well, if I play drums while I'm DJing, then people won't notice how shitty of a DJ I am.
Well, they're way louder.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good cover. It ended up working out kind of well, but as I started getting older, I grew into more of a DJ because I was like, I got to be my own boss. I got to be the front man instead of being the guy behind the drums every night.
Also, you got those set of pipes, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude.
My raspy strip club voice. It works out great, man.
I mean, how was drumming for weddings, by the way? Because you see how it's portrayed in movies. And I guess there was even that show on TBS for a little bit, The Wedding Band. Remember
it's
that with Brian Austin Green?
It's nearly as ridiculous as it looks. You know, I don't have a sparkle vest.
Right.
Slick my hair back. Like, No, I don't.
You play the hits though, right? Would you get like shitty little
Bruno Mars
kids coming up being like, play Taylor Swift?
Oh yeah.
And parents requesting,
like, hey, that song that you want that we all know you're gonna ask for, we're going to play it.
Yeah,
you
we're
know,
just we're just not gonna
69
play.
69 is going to come. Like, do not worry. We are.
It's
going
a
to play
freaking
that.
Wedding. Yes. You think we're not playing? We are family.
Yeah.
We have to.
It's going to happen. Going wedding bands are cheesy, man.
Give me the top three most requested or played wedding songs.
Oh god. Well, you know what? It is funny.
Because I want to know what not to play at my wedding.
People constantly say they don't want the songs that really everyone should play at their wedding. You know, the cha-cha slide. Come on, man. Wobble. The wobble, you know that wobble, right?
Wobble, no. baby, wobble.
That's a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah, and but I mean, usually when somebody September, I would say
by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, I mean that was at my wedding. You know, it was that's a song that you play if you're doing a wedding because everyone goes nuts. Shout,
of course,
you know, you got to do shout.
Celebration. Then,
that one, a lot of people say they don't want.
Ooh.
Because it's cheesy.
Oh, shit.
But what's that song in The Wedding Singer, Adam Sandler, The Wedding Singer?
Oh, yeah.
The
Loving You?
No, the slow one. What's the slow
one? Do you really want to hurt me? Give me time.
Yeah, Culture Club.
I don't play that at weddings.
Yeah, good man.
But I do Holiday by Madonna. I do that one all the time.
Oh, sure. It's a fun one.
Holiday, yeah. Come on.
It's a fun one.
You got there's some Madonna. You have to play some, probably a Train song.
Yep.
Drops of Jupiter.
It really varies wedding to wedding because I've done weddings where people have said, man, like, we don't want any cheesy wedding songs.
And you go, all right, Slayer.
We want Calvary.
Raining Blood.
Right? EDM kids that have gotten married, and they're like, dude, we want it to be like a rave at our wedding. And I'm like, grandma and grandpa don't want to dance to Martin Garrix Animals, you know? Or like,
you
or
and
like
me,
Dead
baby,
Mouse.
Ain't nothing but mammals.
you don't want to do Dead Mouse at a wedding. But I mean, there's kids that are like, can you like remix it in with Celebration?
I'm on the drums.
Yeah. So I've actually done things like that where I've remixed Celebration.
Oh, when you're DJing.
Yeah. Because I can put tracks on top of each other, and it's like,
wow.
You know, I'll do Staying Alive on top of, you know, Turn Down for What, you know?
I mean, that's a dope mix.
I kind of want to see that, I kind of want to see that. Because just to see the look on the faces of the older people that don't know that song, where it's like, all right, this is a song I know. What the fuck? What the fuck?
Can you please put that back? Can you please do it back? Sorry.
Sorry.
This button, I already pushed it.
I can only imagine.
The kids like it.
What like a 98-year-old woman thought when like the iPad came out. Or when like, Turn Down for What came out. Like that's such a...
You just compared Turn Down for What to the iPad.
Hey, man, I'm talking about changes.
Zombie Steve Jobs is going to come out and kill you for that comparison.
My 96-year-old grandmother... I'm pretty sure she still doesn't know that the internet exists.
Yeah. Well,
she's probably better off for that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit out there.
Probably.
At 96, trying to comprehend what you could do on the internet if you're not familiar with it,
it might kill you.
Yeah, it may literally blow your mind. It may literally just, you know what? Fuck it. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, that's too much.
That's ridiculous.
So when do you make the transition to strip club DJ?
When you wanted to see some titties.
Because I did a lot of weddings up in Boston. That was kind of like my bread and butter.
That's where you were living. That's where you grew up.
Yeah, for Boston. So when I graduated school, I was in Austin for a little while, did the band thing, came back up to Boston, started DJing full time, got a DJ company up there. So I was doing like clubs and stuff like that. But then, you know, when I had my first kid, I said, you know, I don't want to raise him like... Rent's going up like crazy, and I want to go to a place that's got a little bit more variety, not cold 9 months out of the fucking year.
Yeah.
So, diverse. Came down to Austin, and
when you thought of the children, you thought strip club.
Yeah, well, I mean, I went on Craigslist like anybody does looking for something to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to DJ downtown and stuff like that, but then I saw a bunch of ads for strip club DJs. And I went in.
And you talk like that.
And they're like, wait, can you just say, you know,
Give it Crystal, up for Candy.
Crystal coming up to main stage. Crystal coming up main stage right now. All right.
Wow, like, hired is like, what I heard.
There we go. There we go. So full-time job now.
Yeah, I feel like that's all they do for the audition.
To
be a strip club DJ because like you're not really mixing because the girls want to dance to a certain song.
Fade in.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, because you're not.
It's like, can you do the voice?
Yeah.
Can you make me feel guilty for ordering a lap dance? And, or can you make me not
feel guilty?
Yeah. You want to get people comfortable.
Yes, we got 2-for-1 passion coming up. Passion fruit. We got Gushers Fruitios.
We actually have a passion. We have a passion. Good friends with her. She bought me a birthday cake on my birthday. Her name is Passion. Yes. We have a passion.
I mean, sure.
Passion coming up right now. Bring that fine ass.
Bring that fine ass. Yeah, I was going to say, how descriptive do you get?
Always. I just make it up as I go, you know?
Now,
just
say what you see.
I used to be terrible on a microphone, too. When I first did weddings, like when I had to announce the bride and groom coming in, when I first started doing it, I was like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of throw myself in the fire. The first wedding I did this, I introduced the bride and groom as Mr. and Mr. Stevenson.
I said, that's legal now?
And Mr. and Mr. the band is here? I'm sorry. Mr. and Mrs. And then, you know, in my review, they wrote, you know, the bride wasn't very happy because she thought he was calling her a man. It was...
Overly sensitive.
Yeah, so I don't say Mr. and Mrs. anymore. I just say Gina and Ben...
Yeah, the name. Now, I have a question. Did the future strip club DJ in you come out during these wedding announcements? Like,
no.
Give it up for Gina. Look at that fine ass.
It does now, though.
It's now only attached to Brian.
On the main stage, it's the bride, everybody. The wedding party. We're going to run a train on this one. Like, someone's like, no.
Appropriate? No, maybe not.
The thing that's funny is, since I started working at the strip club, it was like, okay, I had 5 or 6 things that I would say written down, but then, like, as a month went by, I didn't need it.
Yeah.
And then as time went on, I've been there like a year now, and I don't even, you know, Friday nights I walk around, I'm not even DJing, I'm the MC, and it's like night and day the person I was now versus then.
It's awesome.
So when I go to weddings now, I don't even get nervous anymore. It's just like, I own the room. I know what I'm doing there. I know that I'm directing everyone like sheep.
Isn't it crazy that even in a world like that of the DJ, the strip club DJ, just like still just being comfortable and confident on a mic, it's not
ridiculous.
It takes time depending any business that puts you in that situation. Like,
it's crazy.
Nobody comes out and is immediately just that comfortable.
I mean,
you got to find your... You know, your comfort zone, and your trust in yourself.
Now, I asked this question to my buddy Kevin Klein because he was the host of the Playboy Morning Show and saw tits literally every day. And, like, did it ever get to a point where, like, hot naked women did not excite you?
Sure. Great question.
I'm going to get real deep here.
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
So, the thing I realized about working there is that you see, I'm like, Jesus, this must translate into relationships somehow, because you see these girls, you first start working there, you're like, oh my God, you know, Crystal is so hot. Holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work with her for like a month and you don't look at her anymore. She still looks the same. She's still gorgeous. But I don't even, it's always the new girls that you look at. You know, you see, oh my God, have you seen the new girl? The new girl's smoking.
You know, and it's just, Crystal looks the same, but it's just not.
You know, so I'm like, it's almost like after you see the same person naked, you know, every friggin' night.
I'm so...
It just doesn't really faze you.
Dude, I'm so bored with myself. I look at myself and I'm like, I've seen that.
I used to just be enchanted by my naked body. I think everyone just loves it when a dwarf uses the word enchanted, by the way. It just kind of seems right.
You gotta say it in a high voice.
Yeah, is there a lot of turnover? Is there a lot of... By the way, that would be a great strip club DJ voice.
Oh, come on, installs. Pizzas, everybody.
Oh, that's two for one dance now. We actually had there was a DJ in Boston, DJ Littles.
DJ Littles.
DJ Littles.
Okay.
And he would always bring like 4 chicks with him when he DJed.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, was DJ Littles a little person?
He was.
Motherfucker.
I never met him.
I mean,
I think he did die. He did die.
Well, sure, we all do.
8 or 9 years ago. But, you know, that was a story. I heard a lot about DJ Littles.
I can't really.
That'd be a great strip club. We don't have any little people in our strip club.
I can't make fun of that name because when I DJed in junior high, just junior high dances.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was a DJ 4-foot.
Really?
Oh,
wait, so you DJed too?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, DJ in junior high, it's like DJing at a strip club where it's like fade out, fade. Like, that's all you do. Yeah, you just switch the song.
And then a lot of charisma and, like, you know, fist pumping. And
yeah, and then a lot of looking at junior high kids rolling their eyes at you because it's like, oh, he's in high school. He's lame.
That's funny.
He doesn't know what's really going on.
There should be a strip club of all little people.
I mean, well, they're always
the most popular. If you came out to my strip club tonight, you would get more attention than anyone in there.
Yeah,
I usually do. Nothing to do with the fact that you know me. It's just I would get you in for free.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the best I'm going to do for you.
I'm going to say that I may make an appearance.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it off mic.
Is there a lot of turnover in a strip club with the girls?
So it depends on the, like, I've had girls that have been there since I started working there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're here based in Austin, and then you get a lot of girls that, you know, they're just kind of like hippies, and they're just like, get on a bus, go to Houston, come to Austin, stay at a motel for 4 or 5 days, work, and then and then leave. You know, so I've probably seen over 1,000 girls in the past year.
Wow.
Just that I've met, and I'm like, please don't go. You know, and they're gone.
That's 2,000 titties.
Oh, yeah.
Unless there was a really odd situation someone had one or three.
I really...
Could happen.
I have not seen that yet.
All right.
But, you know, I am actually amazed that we have not had a little person dancer.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it on TV.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it in real life, and I've never seen strip clubs more packed than when Lil Sassy Cassie comes to town.
Who the fuck is that?
An actual dwarf stripper.
Her name is Lil Sassy Cassie.
And I will tell you this story. I was in Denver, and the staff comes up to me and goes, hey, there's a strip club down the street named La Boheme, and there's a dwarf stripper there.
Oh, my God.
And I go, well, obviously I'm going to go see the dwarf stripper. Yeah. I have to.
Yeah, it's my duty.
So, yeah, that's kind of... You know, we got to support each other. So I go, and in Lil Sassy Cassie, who is about half my height, she is really little. She's like climbing the pole, and then when I say climbing the pole, I mean she's got to like shimmy up it. Like,
I have to see this.
It's pretty amazing. And then she sees me, and this huge smile comes over her face, and she runs.
She was reuniting with a family member.
And she goes, "Brad," and I realize, oh crap, I used to babysit this girl.
What?
Shut your face.
No,
what?
No.
What? I used to babysit her, and then she became a stripper. And literally, the first words out of my mouth were, "Was it anything I did?"
When I said you couldn't watch Home Improvement.
Yeah. Are you here? Like, my babysitter made me go to bed at 8 o'clock. I'll show him.
Oh, my God.
I'll stay out till 1 dancing naked. And
no.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You later found out it was your daughter.
Yeah. It was. That was my interaction with the dwarf stripper. But she made. And the other strippers that were there that night hated her because she just came in and made more money in one night than they made in a month.
Of course.
What is the thing that for all future strippers out there listening? What would be the thing?
We have a lot of future strippers.
What would be the podcast thing that would that you would tell them, like, that you've observed, if you want to make it?
That man doesn't love you. I would say he doesn't actually love you.
That's so harsh, but so true. You mean the guy who's paying for the dances?
Yeah, he doesn't love you. You know, because I meet a lot of dancers that they have a customer, and the customer, it's like, I almost want to say the customer too, she doesn't love you either.
Yeah, oh, yeah. This is her job. It's her job to like you.
It's totally. It's almost like I see sometimes two people just completely blinded by what's going on, or you almost have to do that to live that fantasy. You can't remember that it's a transaction. Right.
Yeah, and you've seen it where dancers start dating clients.
Oh,
and
yeah,
stuff like that
absolutely. And you know, you have clients that are, you know, taking girls on trips to Aruba and, you know, sort of like wifing these girls up and girlfriending them up, but, you know, they're also giving them thousands of dollars a week.
Wow.
You know, and it's really incredible. But the other thing I would say is to just stop spending so much money while you're there, because they're always, it's like, oh yeah, you made $400 or $500 tonight, but your tab at the bar was $120.
Oh, really?
Because you're buying everyone shots, and so it's just
here you go, ladies. Don't get high on your own supply.
It's hard because, you know, and I've started writing. I don't know, novel, book, something.
Yeah.
But the title of it is going to be called Strippers Are People Too. And
well, I mean, so you're starting off your book with a lie. I don't like that.
Jesus.
Well, I mean,
not appreciative.
It's been tough
too
because,
soon. It's a catchy title.
You know, yeah, you know, on my birthday, it's like, you know, these girls, they got me a cake. Like, there's been a lot of, you see these people every day. You get to know them on a personal level, and you see kind of the struggles that some of them are going through.
Real life
some
struggles.
Some of them are actually victims, and some of them aren't at all. Mm-hmm. But I would almost like for people to be able to see the difference instead of just saying all strippers are friggin' whores. You know, because it's not the case.
It's a generalization,
yeah,
man.
And there's some girls, I mean, you know, they
actually
three,
are trying to pay their way through medical
and
school.
Yeah. Some of them are really genuinely super caring people, but at the same time, they're strippers.
Yeah. Well, I think it's such a, why do you think there's such a stigma about, I mean, I guess just because if you look at it, it's like everyone wants to quickly so judge like, oh, if that's what you're doing for money, like you gave up in a
sense. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you know what? How many girls are, you know, running around, and I don't mean to get controversial about feminism or anything like that, but it's like, you know, I know girls that aren't strippers, but the way that they
portray themselves on social media.
Is by dating guys and going on Tinder and getting guys to buy them dinner and stuff. It's kind of like, all right, you're taking advantage of
certain things regardless. I've got a friend that whenever she just doesn't want to pay for dinner, she goes on Tinder, finds a date.
Oh, man.
And says, let's meet up for dinner.
What?
Yeah. And then
see, and there's no light being shined on that.
Yeah. No, never. This is something we need to, bring to the
lesson is fucking stay in your lane. Do your shit.
Yeah,
and
take
quit
care of
looking
your kids.
Out the window and being a backseat driver in someone else's car.
Yeah.
That was profound as shit.
That was a Tracy Chapman lyric.
All right, Davey, I do want to. We've got about a half hour left.
Okay.
Which I think is plenty of time
I
to
think
get
that's
into
plenty
this.
Plenty of time.
So when Davey and I shot Ghostbusters together, which was unbelievable, right? Mm-hmm. Great week. I mean, the bond that we made with our band in this movie
was
incredible.
It's like we were a real band.
Dude, it was a close. Dude, I mean, 2,000 extras in the Wang Theater, this theater that's like the shrine for Boston, right?
Yeah.
A 10,000 seat theater.
Yeah.
That had 2,000 extras. Brad screaming at you like you're a rock star. It's the closest.
You kind of start to believe it. Yeah.
Dude, I literally walked off being like, I could play Madison Square Garden tomorrow.
And better than any wedding I've ever been to.
Was it?
God,
yeah. The
was
energy
amazing.
Was incredible. So we go out for drinks one night, and I don't know how we stumbled upon the story, but after I heard this story, it's a story that I have not been, I haven't been impacted by a story since I read the Goosebumps.
You called me the next day.
Yeah.
And did you really?
Yes.
You called me
the next day, and it's like, we have to have this guy on the podcast just to tell this story.
I'm so glad that you did because, you know, it's so easy for somebody to say, oh, man, that would be so cool if we hung out this one time or did that.
Right. I'm not lip service.
You made it happen.
Yeah,
man.
Dude.
So
remember, I told you, I go, Brad's going to be in Austin. I go, I'm coming. That was actually one of the driving factors of me coming down because I wasn't on this festival. I got added late.
Oh, really?
I came down to do, mainly this podcast, and then it was like, oh, cool, there's going to be other comedians we can get. But that was,
goodness.
I wanted to capture this because the rest of the world needs to know.
No pressure.
So, no pressure with this story.
Well, and like I said, he's been talking this up for
but also
weeks.
You're a great dude, and Davey, you're a fun conversationalist.
Thank you.
And
thank
you're a great
you.
Dude, so it's like I knew that, like, look, we just did a half hour of stuff aside
from
this.
This is great. No,
so,
this is great. I was super nervous, but
no, you're great, dude.
This is good. How did we start? I mean, I think you had asked me, you know, because the fact I told you earlier, you know, you're not an athlete, you don't play sports. Mm-hmm. Well, it was because I had a brain aneurysm.
That came up casually.
When I was 9 years old, and I think that came up.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, to take it away.
Yeah.
I had a brain aneurysm when I was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't need to get too medical about it, but it was basically I had a birth defect that had a big artery go directly into a little vein instead of splitting off into it, which is what's normally supposed to happen.
Okay.
So when I was 9, there was a bubble there. It burst. I got very lucky. It has a 70% mortality rate.
My God.
Most people die or end up, you know, unable to function.
Yeah.
It's like a stroke.
Yeah.
You know? And
a friend of mine's dad died of a brain aneurysm. It was instant.
Yeah.
Just
brutal.
Instant.
It's brutal. So I was 9 years old. My mother was in Jerusalem at the time. I was on the beach with one of my friends and I just had this killer headache and I just blacked out on the beach.
Yeah.
And I woke up in a hospital, couldn't move.
And everyone said, that kid's been drinking way too much Corona. But good for him for blacking out at 9.
Life is a beach.
Yeah. You know? So you black out.
I black out.
Everyone freaks out. You don't remember anything.
I don't remember the aneurysm happening.
Yeah.
I remember waking up in the hospital and being unable to move even like a centimeter, my head to the left or the right, without the most excruciating pain on the face of the earth. It was like, it was just insane.
That's quite, because normally when you go in for surgery, you're expecting it. You're like, okay, I'm going to wake up. Mm-hmm. It's going to suck. And you can kind of mentally prepare yourself for it. But when you literally just pass out and now you're waking up in a hospital with just
hold it down here, maybe.
Like literally mind-numbing pain. That's just got to be a trip.
I woke up. I hadn't had surgery. Mm-hmm. Nobody performed surgery on me. I woke up. I didn't know what was going on. I was terrified. I mean, I'm a 9-year-old kid. And my dad tells me, you know, because how the hell do you tell a kid? How do you explain that to a kid?
Yeah.
So my dad tells me, you know,
God sneezed.
The doctor says, like, you know, you're sick with your head. You have a bad headache. We're going to make it better.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
So
you can understand that.
Yeah. So my dad, he's amazing. That's Allison's brother.
Yeah.
You know,
the man.
And he's incredible. But he was there, you know, for like a long time in the hospital with me. The lucky thing that happened, the aneurysm ended up clotting. So when it happened, instead of the blood kind of going through my entire brain and then having to perform surgery immediately, it clotted. So it was like a scab in my brain. So they said, hey, we actually have some time here to perform the actual surgery to fix this.
Wow.
So that was like the miracle that made me not die, was that clot.
Brain Scab should absolutely be the name of your band.
Brain Scab.
There's a deep meaning behind that band.
Man, that's going to be my new Gmail password. So
you just gave out on a podcast.
Or your next child's name.
Yeah. So it was, my ma, who's super religious, was like going to church every day and doing all that. My dad was just trying to help me. And I was, you know, they moved me over to Children's Hospital in Boston, which is like one of the best hospitals in the world.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I got there, it was like freaking Christmas morning because there was like hundreds of presents all over my hospital room. And like, I didn't know, how serious this was.
Yeah.
It was just like, I'm not feeling good. I got a headache. And it was like, holy shit, look at all these, like, I got a VR Troopers.
Wow.
Game Boy, you remember VR Troopers?
Oh, yeah. Hey, we are VR. I watched it yesterday?
Yeah, so I'm
yeah, because they can't explain to you, there's no point in doing it.
Why
it's just like,
scare a kid?
No.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you got a 25% chance of dying or whatever the hell it is.
70.
Jesus.
Yeah, so...
So they do the surgery.
It was like I was in the hospital for like 2.5-3 months before the surgery happened.
Wow.
They had to like take veins out of my leg. They had to do a bunch of other stuff. So I was in the hospital for like almost the whole summer.
What are you doing that whole time?
Dude, they had Children's Hospital. I had like clowns coming in, spinning plates in front of me. And I was getting rolled around in the garden, like going to the gift shop, getting toys and shit.
Have,
it was awesome.
Do you have like the what city was this in?
This was Boston.
Yeah, do you have like Boston Bruins coming in? Like,
I didn't get any of that. I wasn't an athlete.
Did Kevin McHale
visit you? I was a hockey player at the time, and like before this happened, I was like a little kid. Like, I want to be a pro hockey player. Like, that was I wanted to do.
You just weren't sick enough. You should really strive for greatness next time. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that was it.
You know, Ray Bork could not come.
Yeah, you had you had clown plate spinning headache. Mario Lemieux headache.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I had the surgery.
They passed the time during the day for you.
Yeah.
So you were bummed that you're there all summer.
Yeah,
but
and it hurt. Like, I was in a lot of pain most nights, and I was just like, Dad, my head hurts. I need more codeine. 9-year-old asking for codeine. Jeez. You know, he's like, you've already had enough codeine. Like,
so, don't tell me how to live my life.
You know, so,
you were on the scissor early.
Yeah. So it was, surgery happens.
Okay.
And, you know, surgery took 9.5-10 hours.
Jesus.
Something like that. And so they told me... you know, after the surgery was on a Sunday. They're like, we're going to have to keep you in rehab here at the hospital for probably like the next week and a half to 2 weeks.
And you said, no.
Yeah, right?
All right, that's hilarious.
By the way, I should kill myself.
That's at Funny Brad on Twitter.
Oh, my God. So they did the surgery on a Sunday, and it was Wednesday. And they said, you can go home. Like, you're good. You can go home. Yeah, I was supposed to be there a week and a half for rehab. Sunday surgery, Wednesday they sent me home. Because they were like, you're fine. Because they're coming in, they're checking my like, how many fingers are we holding up, checking, like, my vision, and they're doing all this stuff.
Being in a hospital for months.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, so it was. Sudden, it was just. Good. It was just like, oh, you're good. I was. Okay. I was walking by Friday,
and the headache and was gone.
It was gone. I had, you know, 36 staples in the back of my friggin' head.
Wow.
And I couldn't feel. My head was numb for like 6-7 months, so I couldn't feel anything. But I was fine. But I had absolutely no idea of how serious. What I was trying to play hockey 3 months later, you know, and they were like, nah, you can't play hockey.
Oh, jeez.
You know? What was the first thing you did when you got out? McDonald's or go to the park?
Oh, my God. I was just, I wanted to, like, yeah, I just went to the beach. You know, I was just like, I just want to hang out at the beach. Jeez. And I tried to use it
but
to
But that's
get
where you were when you passed out.
Yeah, I wanted to hang out at the beach.
You wanted to finish that sandcastle.
He's just like, I got work to do, Mom.
It's gone.
It's gone, and he freaks out.
Oh, I was right. I was about to make the drawbridge.
So you know, I tried to use it as a way to get a dog. That didn't happen.
Oh,
you know?
What?
I want a puppy.
And they're like, you weren't that sick.
Yeah. You're better now. Shut
of
the
course.
Fuck up.
Right. So fast forward, you know, as I get older, I start learning more and more about how serious this shit is, and I start realizing, like, okay, this is, you know, that was a big deal. Like, I almost died.
At what point did the folks break it down for you and go, hey,
I was probably like 15 or 16. They, you know, so what really happened with that? You know, like, because I remember I was self-conscious about the back of my head because it left me with a bald spot on the top of the back of my head. Mm-hmm. And when I was in like seventh grade, girls would make fun of me saying I was going bald because I had the scar.
Oh,
and then they,
where
was,
are these,
know,
bitches now?
Oh, that's terrible, man.
Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, I mean, oh, look, Davy Jones is balding and he's only 14. I'm like,
and then did you tell him, like, I almost died, bitch?
No, I was like, it's a scar. Oh, it's a scar. Yeah.
God, kids are so cruel. They don't know any better.
You know, so I was like, when that came up, because I was like, I don't know, I'm embarrassed. I was wearing a hat all the time.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, I grew my hair out because I didn't like the bald spot and the scar in the
good
back
move.
Of my head. Dude, now I love the scar. Girls are like, what is that?
You're like, isn't it crazy how the tides turn like that?
Let me tell
crazy.
You about this.
Yeah, battle wounds, baby. Yeah.
Right?
I had it's a like, headache oh that lasted 9 months. Wait, so, okay, so then they break it down for you.
They break it down for me. I learn what it is.
Do you obsess about it? You start researching?
I read a lot about it.
Yeah.
Because I was very, because I read that, you know, the chances of these things happening repeatedly are much higher in people that have had them.
Oh.
So I started saying, you know, I want to make sure that I'm doing what I can to not have something like this happen again. I wore a helmet whenever I was snowboarding. I wore a helmet whenever I was skateboarding, you know, which is like, I was a reckless kid. Like, I wouldn't normally wear a helmet doing anything.
And that helps. I mean, wearing a helmet in those situations is good anyway, but is that, like, is brain trauma something that, like, triggers it or something?
I mean, it could. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it was just, they said, you know.
You're just being cautious.
Yeah, you need to just be really careful of your head. Just, you have to be.
I'd wear a helmet all the time. Dude. Seriously. Even jerking off, I'd be like, dude, I ain't taking any chances.
So, you know, I had, you know, one of my buddies in high school, you know, one day, like, I was probably like a sophomore. And, like, the dude was like, what's up, bro? And he smacked me across the back of the head, like, really friggin' hard. And I freaked out. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Like, sure. That was like,
so I was very sensitive
that
about.
Was like, that was like some PTSD stuff.
Yeah. So know? I was like, what are you doing? You're trying to kill me? Like, and my parents told me, like, you need to be really careful of your fucking head. Like, it's, you have clamps in there. It's not like this shit never happened.
Right.
You know, so
what was in there that they were afraid could get jostled?
Well, it was they had to reroute veins and arteries.
Oh, dude.
Like, jeez. Deep within my brain. They had to, like, cut my brain open, go deep inside where the aneurysm happened, take out the blood clot, and then clamp the shit back together and put it back together.
My God. That doesn't even sound possible.
It's actually a piece of my brain that is not there. And that piece of my brain controls my peripheral vision. So I actually, when I'm looking straight at you, I can't see how many fingers I'm holding up right here. I can't see my hand.
He's holding up his hand right in front of his face.
Nothing.
You can't see that.
Nothing. I'm looking at you. Now, they didn't tell me that until I was older because they wanted me to adjust to it.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
So, but trust me, when I turn around and someone comes out from here, they appear. You know, I don't see them coming like
them
I do
coming.
From my right.
Yeah.
They just appear in front of me.
Wow.
So
does that affect your driving at all?
No, I just have I scan a lot.
Okay.
You know, it's like, as long as I'm not staring at, it only happens when I'm staring at one spot.
Okay.
So, like, if I'm staring at, you know, my finger in front of my face, my peripheral doesn't, and it's weird explaining to people, so, like, wait, so is it like a black spot? in your vision. It's like, no, it's the weirdest thing.
It doesn't exist.
It just doesn't. This is not there.
Yeah.
Wow. So you had to learn that on your own. So one day you're just like, oh,
well, no,
shit.
I'm going to get into how I found that out. Yeah. Okay. You know?
So you start researching, you're 15, and then the guy hits you. You freak out. You're like, hey, dude. Now you're probably even more paranoid because you're like, wow, these close calls can happen. Maybe I need to go helmet all day 24/7. Right?
I got over it. I was doing music. I wasn't skateboarding as much. And it was kind of like I had when I was 18, I had my 9-year checkup. Mm-hmm. And my doctor, you know, they gave me a CAT scan and they say, I mean, you look pretty good down there. You know, let us know if you're concerned about anything. But other than that, I mean, you look good.
Cool. So back to life.
So back to life. I go to college, go to Berkeley, do all that shit. And before, you know, so when I was going to Berkeley, I played drums at a gospel church, Baptist church. I was the only white dude in there. It was awesome.
It's amazing.
You know, really gave me some soul.
How great is the gospel church?
Just, oh my God. I mean, it was incredible.
It looks so much fun when you see it on TV.
It's incredible. I'm getting my child baptized with them later on this month.
Unbelievable.
You know, it's just amazing.
Is it energy that you can describe, or is it like you just have to be in this church?
I mean, just watch movies. You know, I guess.
Just watch Sister Act?
Just, you know, it's really cool though, because I got really into it and I grew up Catholic, so it was just,
That thing where
I'd fall asleep in church, and now it's like I'm playing drums, and the services are like 3 hours, not 40 minutes. Wow.
And that's the thing where it looks insane from afar, but then when you're there in the moment, you're like, I'm feeling the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you are.
I'm getting in touch with Jesus.
You're clapping and everything.
Just a lot of the clapping. Yeah,
so the keyboard player, his name was Simon. He lived in Malaysia, and he was from Malaysia. He was going to Berkeley as well. He was a classmate of mine, and he said, he's like, hey man, you should come out to Malaysia. Like, you really should do that, like, after we graduate.
Yeah.
And he told me, he's like, I work at a music college out in Malaysia. How cool would it be if you moved out here for like a year and taught drums and like did all this shit with music? And I had no plan after graduation.
Wow.
So this was before I came to Austin and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was just, you know, like, holy shit, like, that's awesome. And I told my roommate at the time, who was like, yo, can I go with you? Yeah. And I was like, absolutely. Yeah. Like, let's do it. Like, let's go to Malaysia.
A lot of people post-college go to Europe and back. It's such a great time to go, let me do something that I can only do right now.
You don't have responsibilities yet. Yeah. You know, you don't have deadlines, things like that. You can go,
so I spent my senior year saving for that trip. You know, I saved a couple grand and I was like, all right, I'm going to Malaysia. And finally came time to go. And we get to Malaysia. And I'm like, wow, this is so far away. Like, I felt like I was on another planet.
A lot of planes, boats to get to wherever you're going.
I mean,
carrier pigeons.
Opposite side of the street, I think. I remember the driving. I mean, but all the roads were like windy and crazy, and nobody spoke English. And it was like, I woke up every morning. It was like, you know, and I'm totally open-minded to other religions and stuff like that. But it was very strange waking up every morning to like Arab music on a loudspeaker over the complex that I was living in.
Yeah, because you think, I mean, you as the ignorant American, you think Malaysia, you hear the name Asia in it, you're not thinking Muslim community.
Yeah, and no, that's what absolutely it is not. There. And it hugely is.
Yeah.
It hugely is. And you find out, like, oh, wow, on the door of these clubs, if you are Muslim, you are not admitted. Like, you cannot drink. It's against the law to drink if you're Muslim over there.
Yeah, when people say, like, oh, Americans are Islamophobic. I mean, some of us absolutely are, and some stuff is really fucking horrible. But then you go to these other countries, you're like, oh, we're not that bad. I mean, don't get me wrong, if President Trump had his way.
I woke up and it was like,
Lion King soundtrack?
But it was on loudspeakers at 8 a.m. because it was right around Ramadan.
And that was like 8 a.m. prayers
It's not separation of church and state. It's
the
religion
state.
Is law.
Yeah, yeah.
The religion is law.
Sharia law,
so,
right.
So you're thrown off by that, but also you're probably thinking, okay, medically, I'm right? That has to be a thought.
No, not at all.
Okay,
not
cool.
at all, because I hadn't had any type of – I hadn't been thinking about my brain aneurysm at all.
Okay.
So –
Are you just sitting there going like, wow, large Islamic community, where the fuck am I going to get some bacon?
Well, it started,
I want,
you know,
bacon.
My buddy and I were there, and I think we were expecting more of like Thailand. Like we're going to go party, and this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was a lot.
Lady boys, what?
You know, okay. And I was just like, and it was like, you know, I can't sum up Malaysia. I can't sum up Kuala Lumpur in the short time that I was there,
right.
I just wasn't finding the right places to go to have a good time.
Gotcha.
It was not what we had expected.
Yeah.
And it was.
And you're there for a year.
I was, you know, I'm going to be here for a year. I'm living on a twin size bed with my buddy who's sleeping next to me, and you know, I can't even talk to chicks here. I don't even know have you know. And Jesus. then I find out that the school that I was supposed to work at, they're like, yeah, you got to wait 4 months to get a work visa. To start, so I'm like, what the shit? Like, what is like? All right,
what
okay.
You for 4 months,
yeah. So I'm like, you know, this is getting kind of stressful, and I start smoking a lot. I start smoking a lot of cigarettes, and you know, we're going out drinking and stuff. But I mean, a lot of the days were spent, you know, hanging out at my buddy's house playing darts, and I was like shooting off firecrackers with all the little Muslim kids, you know.
I mean,
and being the hilarious white American boy. You know.
Just finding ways to pass the time.
Oh, yeah. It was
you
like
were that
movie
that clown
with Leonardo
spinning
DiCaprio.
Plates was. Yeah.
What is it, the island?
The beach.
The beach. Is
I
that
love
what it
that
was?
Movie.
The beach. You know, so that's the type of shit that I was doing out there. It was fun. It was having a good time. I was kind of being young and
yes.
and doing my thing. So one night I'm going to bed, and I fucking wake up, and I'm like, fuck, my head is fucking killing me.
Uh-oh.
My head is killing me. And I was like, this isn't a normal headache. This is not a normal headache. And I start thinking like, no. Like, no, 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 no. And I go to my buddy Simon. I'm like, dude, what's the hospital situation like here? You know, like, and he's like, why? What's up? Like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm having a type of headache that I haven't had since I was like, and I told him, I was like, I haven't had a headache like this. I don't know what it is. And I'm getting nervous because
sure.
it's not like a headache like, oh my God, I got this migraine. It's this headache like you feel like your head weighs 10 pounds.
Oof.
And you're just like, shit, this hurts. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, knowing what happened and being educated about what yep. had happened.
And they told you if you have symptoms.
Yeah, like it's scary. So knowing how far away from home I was and how I don't have anybody out here, I'm like, if there's something going on, I'm going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I call my dad, who's about to get on a plane to Des Moines, Iowa for business from Boston. And I was like, hey, just letting you know, don't panic. I'm just going to the hospital to check something out. And you know, I'm just having like a really bad headache over here. It could be I ate something or, you know, I just have a headache. I don't know. I don't jump to that.
Okay. Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So my buddy's like, you know, there's the public hospital and then there's the private hospital. The public hospital, you know, costs out of pocket like $500. And then the public hospital is just the public hospital.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, bring me to the public hospital. I go to the public hospital and, you know, my buddy Jason's there with me. And Simon's there with me, and they're like, oh, hey, you know, and I'm not really freaking out or anything. Yeah. I'm just kind of like, I just want to figure out what the hell's going on. So they bring me in. They're asking me about my history, and I tell them, you know, I have history of this. And they do a CAT scan, and I'm just chilling on the hospital bed, and the doctor comes in, and she has this look on her face like she didn't want to be the person to come into the room to talk to me.
Oh, my God.
And she says, I need you to remain calm.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, that's the last thing you say to someone. You want to remain calm.
Right.
So I'm like, what are you talking about? I sit up, and she's like, just come sit over here. And she sits in the end of the bed. She says, just sit over here. And she said, I need to let you know that we found another eruption in your brain, and you're having another brain aneurysm. And I was just like, I didn't say anything. I just was like, what? Like, and I just like immediately tears were coming down my face and I wasn't even like,
can't even process
I wasn't crying.
That. No.
I was just like, what do you like? No, like, no. I just graduated college. I just did all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
I'm
like,
better.
No.
I got surgery.
Yeah. What are you talking
about? A while
about?
Ago. Like, I'm good.
What are you talking about? And she said, we found internal bleeding within your brain. That's what your headache is. You have internal bleeding in your brain. We do not know how much time you have left.
Whoa.
I can't show the expression on my face through the microphone right now.
Yeah. But it's there. But
yeah. And I was just, what do you, what?
So she's like, as I'm talking to you,
oh my God.
You could go.
Yeah. The first emotion I felt was the most angry I've ever been in my entire life.
Right.
Because I was just like, this is happening here? Because if I was in Boston with all my friends and family and I'm dying, I can at least be like, yo, come hang out with me right now.
Right.
I want to give everybody a hug and a kiss and say I love you. And like, that's where my heart was.
The fact that your thoughts even go there is crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't even scared of myself.
So you accepted it. You were just like, you thought about your friends and family. You go, they're going to be so
upset. Oh, my God. I was like, I'm not at home. Like, I shouldn't be here. I wanted a teleportation machine to exist. And I was like, I had never felt so far away from anything in my entire life. I felt like I might as well have been on Mars with no spacecraft. Like, it was just like, and my buddy, you know, he hadn't come into the room yet, but I'm furious. Because after all this had happened to me, I understood that death was a possibility for me. So I had to sort of cope with the fact that, like, life isn't this thing that just lasts forever.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people go through every day thinking that
they're invincible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had already accepted that fact. Like, so I knew that, like, okay, this day could come. So when it came, I wasn't scared for myself. I was, like, afraid of, shit, dude, my friends are going to be so pissed at me because I'm not home.
Wow.
I'm
dude, right. That is insane. I'm that not, that's where yeah. your head was.
That's where my head was.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, next thought is call, I mean, which family member do I freak out here?
My buddy Jason, who was from, you know, I went to college with, he was, you know, still a friend of mine now, he was there, and, you know, he goes up to him and he rubs my back and goes, hey, buddy. You know, like, so you all right? And I'm just like, nah, dude, I'm going to be dead soon.
Yeah.
What?
And I don't know what to do. And... because the doctor told me, so the problem is, since it's Ramadan right now, none of our surgeons are gonna help you out. Or it was something like that. It was like the fact that Ramadan was happening, it caused a scheduling conflict or something like that.
Great timing.
And then also, I don't have Malaysia health insurance. A surgery like that is like over $100,000 for a surgery like that, which I would have to pay up front.
Yeah.
What recent college grad?
Right.
You know.
What, maybe Zuckerberg?
Yeah, that's about it.
So, you know, I'm like, Simon, I got to get to a phone. I got to start making some phone calls. Because this is what she told me. And it was kind of like, you can stay here for the duration if you want at the hospital. And I was like, no, I want to get the fuck out of here. Like, I'm not staying.
Stay here. And so she basically said,
wait here and die.
Oh, you can't afford it.
You know, we're going to help you through this.
Like, we have our own version of a clown spinning plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's basically an old homeless man who swallows dreidels.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So you're like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
I'm like, yeah, get me the fuck out of here. Like, you know, and I said, you know, do you have a relative idea of the rate at which this is bleeding at and you know, what is going on here?
That's a good question.
And she was like, you know, we really can't say, you know, it's all going to depend on, like, your physical state, how it, like, progresses.
Jeez.
You know, I'm like, she's like, this is what got me. She goes, make sure you don't fall asleep tonight. And I was like, wait, she's like, cause you might not wake up. So try to not go to sleep.
What the fuck?
Because you
Freddy
might not.
Freddy Krueger situation is this?
My God.
So she was like, "Don't go to sleep." Because
how tired are you at this point? You're feeling okay?
I was wide the fuck awake.
Yeah,
okay. I was like,
adrenaline.
Oh my God! I was like, you know, so I was just, you know, chain smoking cigarettes, and my buddy's like, you know, dude, it's probably not good that you're smoking. I'm like, shut the fuck up! I'm fucking another cigarette.
It's like, that's bad for your lungs. Yeah. Not really worried about that right now.
You know. I'm at my buddy's house, and everyone's kind of scrambling, like, well, so what the fuck do we do?
Yeah.
Like, do you sit down and watch a movie? Or, you know, I'm like, no, I got to get on Skype. I got to call some people. You know, I called my dad, who had just landed in Des Moines, Iowa, for business. And I was like, you know, and I know that this is his worst fear in the fucking world.
Sure.
This happening to his kid again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
especially when he's not
there. You know, I'm almost like bringing it up to him, like, please don't be mad at me.
Isn't it so weird that you feel guilty about something that you have no reason?
It's heartbreaking news.
I felt bad about it. And I was like, Dad, hey. And he's like, hey, what's up? You know, you still, did you ever get anything checked out? And I'm like, don't. I'm having another one. What? I'm having another. It's happening again.
As I'm talking to you, I'm
No. And my dad's like, what did they say? And, you know, what is the x-ray? I'm like, this is what they told me. This is my dad goes, I'm getting on a plane right fucking now, and I'm going back to Boston. Because I'm going to, like, calls up my surgeon who did my original surgery. It's like, because it's 5 a.m. over in Boston.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm calling them. He gets on a plane, goes back to doing what he's like, I'm calling you the minute I get to Boston. And, you know, I wait, you know, a couple hours, and I'm kind of like, I still feel okay, but I'm just freaking the fuck out. And I call, you know, I call my ex-girlfriend at the time, who I hadn't spoken to in like 3 months. And she answers the phone, and she's like, hey, I'm kind of busy right now. Like, is there a reason you're calling me? And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of important, you know. She's like, I mean, is it life or death?
You still have
like,
that hoodie of mine? And
like, I mean, is it life or death? And I'm like, yeah, like it kind of is.
It literally is.
Yeah. You know, come to find out, she was on a date with this dude she met, and I totally ruined the fucking date. But she, you know, she
wow, read, that's an epic,
you know,
cock block story.
Yeah.
That's, imagine her going back to the table to tell him,
hey,
my ex is having an aneurysm.
Malaysia. Is this the thing that you do to get out of the date?
The old aneurysm in Malaysia story.
Yeah, you know what?
I knew this wasn't going to work out.
Oh, my God.
You pay for your own scalp.
Oh, my God. So she immediately was like, freaked the fuck out.
Sure.
You know, I'm leaving right now. Do you need me to fly out there? And I'm like, no. Like, you know, my dad was trying to fly out there, but like the flights were like $3,000 or something to fly out there in such short notice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I called my friends. I called my best friend of 20 years, and I was like, Brennan, I'm going to, like, this shit has happened. He was just like fucking, he didn't say shit. He was just bawling on the other line. He was just crying on the fucking other end. He was like, you're fucking lying. Get the fuck home. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're fucking lying. And he's just like, he's
so
just
Boston,
pissed,
by
he's
the
pissed
way.
At me. He's just angry. He's like, no, fuck you. Come home. Like, and I was like, dude, I love you. I'm going to fucking call you. He's like, come home.
By the way, that's
home.
Such a heartfelt Boston dude
oh
response.
My God.
Fuck you, motherfucker. You ain't fucking dying. Come home, you fucking
it
piece
was,
of shit.
It was. So, I mean, you have to realize, like, this is the first and only time in my entire life that I actually met and face my own mortality. And it was just like, I was like going through the motions with this. And so I get a phone call. My dad calls me back and he's like, the doctor said you need to come home now. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, if you tell the people for the airline that this is going on, they're not going to let you on the plane. Because if something happens on the plane, they have a medical emergency in the middle of the Pacific. So I'm like,
it's a little serious.
So yeah. I'm lying and I could die on the plane. He's like, yeah, pretty much. That's what we're. It's your best scenario is trying to get back here to get to a hospital, or you're gonna stay out there. And worst case scenario, you're gonna just die out there. You know, so you might as well already head home, because what the fuck else you got to lose?
Die in Malaysia, die in the plane, or maybe get home.
Yeah. So, you imagine what I was like when they shut that fucking door, man.
A plane door.
I was like. It's like,
you
all
had,
right.
Did you have moments of like running off
the
plane?
I didn't sleep. I was like, I got on that plane and I was just like, I was taking like Nodos, and I was taking like, I was drinking coffee because I was just like, don't fall asleep.
Nodos are uppers. Ladies,
yeah. So I was like, you're whatever the Malaysian equivalent of Nodos was, you know? So I was just like, I got on the plane. I'm like, I got 8 hours to Japan. Because I had to connect in Japan. I got 8 hours
to Japan.
So I'm sitting there, you know, white knuckle riding 8 hours on a fucking plane. Would you like some refreshments? And I'm just sitting there like, yeah.
Trying to act like this is a normal
like
flight.
You to drain my head of blood. Can you do that?
Oh, my God.
Does your hot towel come with aneurysm diffusers?
Oh, my God. And I'm like, I can't. And I'm waiting for the blackout. Yeah, I'm waiting for like the blackout that I had. I'm just waiting for like I'm here, because my head's still fucking killing me at this point.
I was gonna say, at what point?
Yeah, it still hurts like hell. And I'm like on the plane, and I'm like, I'm waiting for just like a or to get dizzy and fall asleep. I had no idea what to expect.
Did you give a heads up to any of the person to your
hell
left or right?
No, absolutely not. I just sat there.
Are people
and
trying to make
shit.
Small talk? And you're like,
no,
okay.
I didn't say a word to anybody. I was just get to Japan. I'm starving.
Yeah, because you can't take the risk that you start talking to somebody and their small talk is so fucking boring that it puts you to sleep.
Exactly. I mean, which can happen on a plane.
Yeah.
Right? So I connect in Japan, and I'm kind of like, all right, you know, it's been, I mean, And this is probably 13 hours later. And I'm like, well, I'm not dead yet. Not dead yet. I'm going to get some McDonald's in the airport.
Good move.
And I'm kind of like, I'm freaking out a little bit less. And I get on the next plane and I connect over to Boston. And I'm like, you know, and I didn't sleep that ride either.
No.
And I'm talking 20 hours of plane flights.
Yeah.
You know, and then the 6 or 8 hours before getting on the plane, I'm kind of like, what the fuck? Like, I'm starting to get like annoyed here because I'm like, why the fuck am I not dead yet? You know, like what the
Isn't
hell?
Isn't that crazy that that feeling comes up? Now you're like, what? You told me, like, I'm doing my part. I'm staying awake. So either fix me or kill me.
What the fuck is going on? I'm freaking out because I'm like, these doctors told me in Malaysia that, you know, they don't know. So maybe I'm just like, maybe this is a slow leak. Maybe it's not an explosion in my brain. Maybe it's a slow leak and maybe I'll have time and I'll be able to get this fixed. Maybe I'll get there in time.
How tired are you at this point? You're getting tired.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I'm fucking worn out. I mean, I was up for probably, it was like 30 hours at this point, just no.
Because,
this happened at night. I went to the hospital the night that I had already been up. So it was, woke up at 11 that day, go to the hospital at 8 p.m., all-nighter, I'm on a 10 a.m.
I could not make that. I don't know how. Adrenaline buys you maybe a couple hours, but
But I mean, I was just, I couldn't stop thinking about, like, I just want to see my friends and my family again.
And when your only thought is survival, that's how you.
So that's what got you through it.
Yeah, I was like, I need to hold these people again before I don't exist. And that's all I gave a shit about. And it's forever changed me because of that. It's just like this, because when I was over there, when I'm on the plane and all this is happening, all my focus had been for years was my drums and my job and what I'm going to do when I grow up and what's my career going to be like. And then when it was like, you take all that away and you have moments left. If there was a friggin' comet hitting the earth,
that
you know,
Morgan Freeman warns us about.
what would you choose to do?
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're not going to work. You're going to be like, I want to be with my loved ones. That's all you care about. That's all you give a shit about. That's
and
all that matters
so
in life.
Few of us get to get that moment.
Yeah, ever. People die alone all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I'm on the plane. I get to Boston. My dad has friggin'.
Well, hold on a second. You told me in this story before about the movie that you watched.
Holy shit.
That was a key point.
Yes, that was.
Don't leave that part out.
I was watching Finding Nemo.
Oh, jeez.
On the plane.
All about a kid trying to get home.
Dude. Yeah.
I mean, are you just bawling at Finding Nemo?
I'm watching it like.
Because you said you were trying to, like, you're really watching stuff.
Because I'm trying to stay
in. Eyes
stay
wide.
Yeah. But of course, it's fucking Finding Nemo, kid trying to get home.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I think of my dad because the dad is.
Holy
well, what's the guy's
shit.
Like, and my dad is like flying to Des Moines. He's flying back. He's going to Boston. Like, my dad's trying to get me home.
I'm
going to
cry just thinking about that. That's fucking.
he's trying to get me home. And I'm trying to get home. And I'm watching this. And I'm watching this movie.
That other people might be watching. And you're watching it. No one has any idea.
Oh, they're
watching
it like, oh, that's nice.
Your circumstances. Yeah. You're watching this with a giant theme and connection to it.
Like, I'm relating to this so much. Like, I'm watching it like I have never watched a movie in my life before.
Something
like
happens to Nemo and you stand up, you fucking get home now. Get home.
Boy, like, this guy loves Pixar.
Oh my God.
Hate to see him watch The Incredibles. so you're
the Finding Nemo thing, I mean that was like I mean yeah, there was three or four points on the plane that I was just sitting there crying. Because I said, I don't want to be here right now. I just want to be home.
Why? Because you remain strong for so long.
Yeah.
I can only imagine at
you
some point emotion takes
and
over.
I'm just sitting there and I'm leaning my head up against the window. I'm just like, friggin',
you're in a plane.
Nothing else. I care about nothing else. I'm like, just, you know, it's like, it's like when you get in like a panic habit, everything else falls away.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's like, you don't give a shit about getting a new TV or
right.
You know,
bills.
Yeah, your bill. Yeah, you're like, yeah. Oh, you know, I can't wait to go to that concert this weekend. It's like, no, you're just like, I just want to look at the person that you care about and just say, oh my God, you're still here. I'm still here. Like, just that. It's insane, you know. So I'm just like, once again, like, it's still white knuckle, but I was crying like off and on, and I got through it. And then like when it was like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be touching down in Boston in about 25 minutes, and I'm like, relief starts to hit me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
I made it.
I might be okay. Like, I might be okay. And I get off the plane, and there's like a shuttle there that It was just like a black car takes me. It was a black car takes me to the hospital. My dad is there. There's doctors and nurses waiting outside the hospital.
Jeez.
Like,
they're prepped. Force.
Like, like wheelchair already there. Get in. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Like, holy shit, he's still fucking here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and my dad is just like, go, 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 go. Like, hugs me, but like,
no time to stop.
No time to even be like,
congrats on staying awake.
Yeah, like, not even like to be like,
you did your part.
Hey, I miss you.
Nope.
Good to see you. It's just like, go inside now. Go.
And that's crazy because he's basically foregoing a goodbye.
He's foregoing any type of like, I missed you so much. It's so good to have you home.
Oh my God.
And it's just like, he saw me and he's like, we're going inside now. Go. And they bring me in, they put me in the CAT scan shit immediately, and I got like four or five nurses coming in and out. What are you feeling right now? How does your head feel? What's your pain levels? And they're doing like the fingers in front of my face, and they're doing all this shit. You know, how many fingers are we holding
up? Quick, look at this
stuff.
Look at this titty. Is it pre or post pregnancy?
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God. So like I for the first time in you know over 30 hours, like I feel a little bit safe. Because they're not, they're not like, we need to do surgery. Let's go. Like, they're just kind of checking me out. And I'm kind of like, what the fuck is going on? Like, oh my God. And my dad is just like, basket case.
Sure.
And you know, so then, you know, he says to me, you know, because they go like this. And I'm trying to hold the mic. But they'll hold up two fingers in each hand and hold them up to your face. And he goes, am I wiggling? Tell me when I'm wiggling my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he's like, you don't see me wiggling my fingers? I was like, no. He's like, I'm looking on my left hand right now. You don't see that? Because he told me to look at his nose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I don't see anything. He's like, you don't see my fingers right now. I was like, no. He was like, are you fucking, like, what? Okay. And then he started doing like more like side to side hand things. And then he goes, I got to look at your CAT scan. I think your peripherals are gone. You're like, I think, and that's Jeez. that's when I found out what I was telling you guys earlier of my peripherals.
Yeah.
That's when you found out.
Oh, wow.
It's because I didn't know. And so they do the CAT scan, they do all this stuff, and they come back and they're like, we can't find anything wrong with you.
What?
Yeah. Do you know what my reaction was? I was angry. I was
right.
Like, what the fuck do you mean there's nothing wrong with me?
Yeah.
Like they're like, well, I mean, we checked and they had to do one where they could see the color in the CAT scan and in my brain. And they're like, all we see is the scarring tissue, the scar tissue from your first surgery, which looks a lot like internal bleeding from your first aneurysm.
Then... like, what the
and
fuck
Malaysian doctors were trained to see that as that.
Then
so they,
what the fuck was the headache?
I was like, my head still hurts. What's up? Yeah. And they're like, I mean, the water over there, the food over there could cause some food poisoning side effect. I'm like,
holy shit.
So like,
sorry, did you have the bing bing soup? Because that gives really bad.
Oh my God! Oh my God! I was just like, wait, no, you're like, this is it's funny. This is funny.
Yeah, you go through
this
every emotion.
Because this is what you say to lighten me up and then tell me the bad
news. I'm like, so when are we going in for surgery? Like, no.
Yeah, when am
like,
I dying? Because that's kind of what I'm expecting at this point.
Like, you know, and my dad obviously was just like relieved immediately.
I'm sure he like fell on his knees in tears.
Oh yeah, but me, I'm like, I just experienced the longest near-death experience. Yeah. Like, some people are like, oh, my God, I almost got in a car accident. I'm like, that happened.
No, you went on a 30-hour emotional roller coaster.
It's like, I can't just call my friends and tell them that I'm not dying now. Like, my ex-girlfriend is going to think I just made some shit
up. I ruined her date. I can't just fucking call her and tell her I'm fine.
So it was like, you know, my life changed forever after that. My life had never been the fucking same.
And that's the part. So we have a few more minutes. I want to talk. Brett, fucking mind-blowing. What the fuck? All that like, and then
30 hours of torture because it's like, well, it kind of looks like bleeding.
And, I mean, you got to think, too, across the world and country, how many times misdiagnoses. Is that the word?
Because
like, what if they had said we have to operate right
now? Oh, I know.
And
they're like, oh, yeah, let's go on a
and they charge
open.
You 100
shit,
grand.
There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're, I mean, so you, when you said then you went on kind of a, I
did.
A bender.
I went on like a hard bender.
Because you got a second chance.
I was just like, because you know what it was? It was like every day. It was like, okay, regardless of the fact that I found out this didn't happen, I was no longer living my life with this plan like I was going to be around for a long time.
No.
Because I just experienced this. I'm like, dude, I could be dead tomorrow. Like, yes, I'm going.
You're living life to the fullest, but maybe not in the best way.
Oh my God,
I'm going to go full Lamar Odom and just get a hotel room and a brothel and bring me more.
There's plenty of stories that I probably cannot tell.
For sure. Yeah. But I do want to mention this because I feel like it is important for people to hear. Like, you having this realization and this life-changing moment, which now, I mean, that shit, you don't never not think about
that,
right?
I can't undo it.
How many years removed from this are you?
Oh, yeah. This happened when I was 23.
Okay,
22
so six,
or 23.
6-7 years ago.
I'm just turned 29.
Right. Yeah. So still something that's in the forefront of your mind, right? Because how can it not be?
Well, it's 30 hours of the most insane psychological torture anyone could ever experience.
So, and after talking to my doctor, like, I'm not afraid that it can happen again, so that fear is kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
But
you went on this bender and because you just were like, why the fuck not?
Dude,
like, I'm invincible.
I moved to Austin 3.5 weeks later. I moved to Austin because I said, fuck it. I'm not going to do anything that's the same every day ever again. I'm going to constantly do anything that's not something I've normally done.
Yeah.
And I changed my life because I just say yes to every opportunity that comes along. And I constantly am just like, yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it because I've never done that before. And I don't care. It's like I care more about living my life than just security, you know. And because when you are told you don't have any time left, there's no such thing as security. It's like, oh yeah, that 401k that you saved up for the last doesn't matter.
Nothing.
Who gives a shit? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You feel like you've become more present moment to moment in life.
Yeah,
and you're
absolutely
more sweeter to people. I mean,
my God, I care. Well,
how much empathy?
God, it changed the way that I treat my relationships with people. You know, I'm constantly like, yo, it's this person's birthday. You need to call them. Like, I called my friend Emma, who's a girl that I haven't seen, you know, used to date one of my best friends back when we were in high school. And we've always just been cool. Still, April 14th, every fucking year, I call her on April 14th. Hey, 2-minute conversation. Just want to say happy birthday.
Little things.
It's like I care about the people that I've had in my life and I keep them. I keep them as long as I can.
I'll tell you who you won't be calling on their birthday, that fucking Malaysian doctor. If anything, call him and give him a...
Hey, bro, I'm still alive. Fuck you.
I mean, you'd call him for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is... Wow. That you know, that story, he talked it up, and I was like, how can this story, whatever it is, live up to this kind of hype?
It's a movie.
It's insane.
I mean, that shot where you're watching Finding Nemo, and it's quiet around you, and it's a normal plane ride, and you're locked in on it, and you're watching that story, and you're having flash... I mean, it's
Oh, my God. All I think about is just, like, the quiet... Like, people, like, clanging their, like, silverware, like, just...
You heard everything. Your senses were heightened.
And I just... The plane, and because half the movie I didn't even watch it with my headphones on, I wasn't even listening to it, I was just watching it. And
jeez. I was just making up your own dialogue.
Just
get home, Nemo. You got that brain aneurysm, you gotta get home.
I stopped thinking, there was no thought, like it like fear. It was crazy because you'd think that when you think you're gonna die or when you're about to die, that's gonna be the scariest thing. But for me, the only thing I was afraid of was that I was never gonna see my friends or family again. That was the only thing I was afraid of. I was just like, I just got to get home. I don't care if I get home and I die an hour later. I just got to get home. Yeah. I want them to be the last thing I look at
and
before I bite it.
It's
you know?
Now you have like this hyper focus of that.
Yeah.
Well, your sense of family is just, so that, I mean, that's what you would want people listening to this to like take away from.
Dude,
it's
forget about your career once in a while, man. Like just make a phone call and just talk about shit that doesn't matter. Like, yo, fucking sports, I don't know. Like,
just
let someone know that, like, because people, like, they break up and they split up and they go off in their own directions and stuff, but like they still care, but their pride is so crazy
that they don't
I'm not gonna let them know. It's like, dude, it doesn't
matter.
They
didn't call me,
dude. Send them a card, just be like, you know. And you know what I did after that? My high school girlfriend that broke my heart 2 months later after I got back from Malaysia, I saw on Facebook she had gotten in a car accident. She got her jaw wired shut. because she got demolished in this car accident. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know if I would have been like, oh man, that's crazy. You know, I sent flowers to her house because it's just like, look, I know I haven't spoken to you in 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
But I'm somebody that at one point of your life, you changed it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all that matters. It's like you change somebody's life for a moment, and that might only last a year, might last 5 years, might last forever. But we all have moments with people that, you know, there's people you can't forget in life, you know, and it's like, don't just let them go because you don't see them in a day to day.
Yeah, because time said so.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I speak for Adam and probably everyone listening to this right now where I say, you are now one of those people in my life. I just met you like 2 days ago. But like, this story is so
powerful,
profound that, it's definitely changed me. It's made me think. And now you're now one of those people that you know your life's going one way, and then you meet someone, and the line goes off in a complete other direction.
Like, you remember some shit like that. Because it makes you think about yourself. You know. I'm so happy that I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to tell these guys that story like at the bar that night. It just kind of.
It came out. Because that's a lot. Think about that story, Brad. Think about hanging out with dudes at a bar and the shit that you riff on.
Sports,
and the
stories you tell.
Sports girls.
Yeah, that's it.
What you did that day, shooting the Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
This story organically. This didn't come out, by the way, 5 minutes in. It was about a good hour of hanging.
Oh, yeah.
And then sports, aneurysm. Wait, what do you mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I had this. Sports,
next thing you know, I'm fucking 6 tequilas deep, literally crying in a bar like, what the fuck? God. Nemo, fucking Malaysia, aneurysm, clown spinning plates.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I'm glad you didn't die because, you know, we're going to be friends forever.
Oh, yeah. And you're
the man.
And you had to be a drummer.
And thanks for sharing the story. And I think lesson learned.
Thank you for having me on this podcast.
People are going to love this.
This is so awesome.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I can't wait for Allison to listen to this. And I'm going to tell my
She's
friends.
She's going
to
love it.
This is amazing. This is so cool.
Allison is the best, and I'm glad that that she put you in the film so we could meet.
Oh my God!
Thank you for not dying, and thank you for sharing the story because it's. I know, even to see you tap back in and relive it is like kind of fucking not
well,
easy.
I was afraid
dude.
That I couldn't do it when I came to talk to you guys today. I thought I was just going to kind of recite it, but I was able to kind of tell it with the same.
No,
you know,
Brad's
enthusiasm.
A great listener.
Yeah, you go right back into it. That's frick.
All right, don't just do not go to Malaysia. Ever.
I will never do that again.
Yeah, so
you want to go to Thailand? Nah, I'm good.
I'm good, man. Let's go to fucking Panda Express.
Driving distance.
If fucking Seth MacFarlane calls you and says, "Hey, I gassed up the jet. Come on, we're going to Malaysia.
Hey, man, we're going to
You're like,
jet.
Eh, you know what? I got it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going to Dallas, maybe.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Oh yeah.
To me,
an exotic vacation is. Fucking Bermuda.
I went to Vegas. Yeah.
Go to Vegas. Go to Florida.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, and watch.
Thank you.
And watch Ghostbusters.
And watch Ghostbusters. And when you see it.
Am I allowed to tell people that I'm in that movie?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah. Adam is.
Yeah.
NDA. You know.
I'm the voice of Slimer, baby.
I'm not on. Are you really?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Do it.
Can I?
I don't know if you're.
I feel like I should save it for the movie. Go see the movie. I'll do it for you afterwards.
Yeah. But it goes. And when you see you drumming away, just know that this happened to you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You know, I'll do the Slimer voice. Maybe if you let me come to the strip club and before you bring up passion, I can go. I'll do the voice.
We are doing that. We are totally doing
Slimer
that.
Is going to bring up passion. Slimer will do that.
Davey, I love you. Thanks for doing this.
I love you, man. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams, and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.